The following audio is from Potomac Heights Baptist Church, located in Indian Head, Maryland. More information about Potomac Heights Baptist Church is available at www.phbc.com. Potomac Heights Baptist Church exists to glorify God and make Christ known by making disciples who make disciples to the ends of the earth. It is our hope that you will prayerfully listen to this sermon audio.
Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God and Christ Jesus for you. Father God, thank you for your word. Pray that you would be with us as we study your word this morning. Pray that your word would transform us to make us more like your son. And pray that in everything that we do, that we aim to glorify you. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. So have you, I'm sure you have, try to remember a time when you were waiting for something. You were waiting on an update. You were waiting on a piece of information. You were waiting to see how a relative was doing. You're waiting on something. It may be a situation where maybe you were waiting to hear from a relative who was on a mission trip. Or maybe you're waiting to hear from a child that went off to college. Maybe you're waiting to hear back from the real estate company. Maybe you made an offer for a home, and it seems like it's taken forever. You made this offer a couple of days ago, and you don't understand why no one's called you yet. Or maybe you're waiting for something else. Regardless of what it is, we've all been in a situation where we were waiting, whether it was on a circumstance or whether it was on a person. I'm going to read a letter. A letter that a young man wrote to his family. As his family was waiting to hear from him. And oftentimes when you're waiting, the anxious nature of it is because you don't know what to expect. It could be good news. It could be bad news. It could be no news. It could be tragic news. Keep that in mind as I read this letter. Dear Mom and Dad, our scoutmaster told us to write home to our parents in case you saw the flood on the television and are worried. We're okay. Only one of our tents and two sleeping bags got washed away. Luckily, none of us got drowned because we were all up in the mountains looking for Chad when it happened. Oh, yes, please call Chad's mom and tell her that he's okay. He can't write because of the cast. I got to ride in one of the search and rescue jeeps. It was neat. We never would have found him in the dark if it hadn't been for the lightning. Our scoutmaster, Walt, got really mad at Chad for going on the hike alone without telling anyone. Chad said he did tell him, but it was probably during the fire, so we probably didn't hear him. By the way, did you know that if you put gas on a fire, the gas can will blow up? The wet woods did not burn, but one of the tents did. David is going to look weird until his hair grows back. Now, we'll all be home on Saturday if Scoutmaster Walt gets the car fixed. It wasn't his fault about the wreck. The brakes worked okay, but when we left, Scoutmaster Walt said that with a car that old, you have to expect something to break down. That's probably why he can't get any insurance. We think it's a neat car. He doesn't care if we get it dirty, and sometimes when it's hot, he lets us ride on the fenders. We just take turns. But it gets pretty hot with 10 people in a car. He lets us take turns riding in a trailer until the highway patrolman stopped and talked to us. Scoutmaster Walt is a neat guy. In fact, he's teaching Terry how to drive on a mountain road where there isn't any traffic. By the way, did you know that you don't need guardrails on roads that don't have much traffic? All we ever see up there are logging trucks. This morning, all the guys were diving off the rocks and swimming out on the lake. Scoutmaster Walt didn't let me because I can't swim. And Chad was afraid he'd sink because of his cast. So he let us take the canoe across the lake together. It was so great. you can still see some of the trees under the water from the flood. Scoutmaster Walt isn't crabby like some scoutmasters. He didn't even get mad at our, about our losing our life jackets. He has to spend a lot of time working on the old car, so we're trying not to cause him any trouble. Guess what? We have all passed the test for our first aid merit badges. When Dave dove into the lake and cut his arm, we got to see how a tourniquet works. Wade and I threw up, but Scoutmaster Walt said it was probably food poisoning from the leftovers from the old chicken. He said they used to get sick that way from the food that they ate in prison. I'm glad he got out, because he became our scoutmaster. He said he sure figured out how to get things done better while he was doing time. I have to go now. We're going to town to mail letters and to buy bullets. Don't worry about anything. We're all fine. Love, Cole. You're probably wondering why I read that letter. It's kind of funny to read it when the passage is, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." But the real reason why I read that letter is because Paul was in a similar circumstance during this time when he wrote the letter to the Thessalonian church. Let me give you a little bit of background on what happened. So this was a brand new church. It was a church full of new believers. And as soon as Paul was establishing the church, the people in the synagogues, the Jewish people, rose up against him, and they began to tell lies about him. And Paul had to leave just as this church was forming. And he had no idea what was going on. It's a church full of new believers. So Paul is continuing his missionary journey, and he sends Timothy to take care of the church. And all this time, Paul is waiting for Timothy to give him a report of this church that just got started. This church full of new believers. This church full of new believers that are being persecuted. He's worried about them. They're his spiritual sons and daughters. He's concerned. Sure, we can all identify with it. When Timothy comes back and reports to Paul, Timothy gives Paul great news. Says they're doing great despite the persecution. They're really on target. They're really doing good. So Paul writes the letter of 1 Thessalonians to this church to encourage them to continue on as they grow in the Lord. He has many things to say about practical Christian living since these are new believers. And in the middle of that, we come to Chapter 5, or near the end of it, when Paul is giving them instructions on Christian living. And the passage that we're charged to study this morning says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ for you." Seems like good information, right? That's what you would want to give to a bunch of new believers who are experiencing persecution. So, first thing we have is what? What is Paul telling them to do? He gives them three commandments in this section. Three commandments. The first one is rejoice always. Rejoice always. Now, when I was studying for this, a theologian by the name of John Stott said, be very, very, very careful when reading this passage so that you don't apply it to the individual alone. He says, remember, keep in mind that this was written to the church in Thessalonica. So it was written to a church. Yes, we are to apply it to ourselves personally, but it also applies to us as a church. And we should look at it as such. So we start with the individual. Rejoice always, or always be joyful. When I think about this, it takes me back maybe 15 years. At that time, I believe I was working two jobs. And at nighttime, I was a shift supervisor for a global shipping company. So it was my job to get these people to work as hard as they possibly could without having to call an ambulance. That was pretty much my job, to motivate people to work hard, to squeeze water from a brick. And I remember a particular gentleman, he was an older gentleman, probably in his mid-50s, which isn't really old, but it's old to do that kind of work. So I guess the standard was for them to be able to unload 900 packages per hour. That was the standard. It was my job to get them to unload 1,600 packages per hour. And the conditions, if it was 90 degrees outside, it was 120 degrees inside, because those large 50-foot trailers would sit out in the parking lot all day and bake. When you pull up the door, it'd be like opening an oven. In the wintertime, we must have had 200 bays, these large bay doors, where the 50-foot trailers could back up to. And we're working the night shift. So if it was 2 degrees outside, it was negative 12 inside, because it was like a huge wind tunnel with all of the bay doors being open. If you wanted air in the summertime, you had two choices. You could suffer without any air, or you could turn on these huge industrial fans that would blow the dust into the trailer. So you would get 5 degrees cooler. So instead of being 120 degrees, it would be 115 degrees, but you wouldn't be able to breathe. So you had to choose between air or breathing, which really isn't much of a choice at all. Yet there was this gentleman named Mr. Brown. And Mr. Brown worked as hard as he possibly could, every single time. Every single night he worked as hard as he possibly could. I couldn't get him up to 1,600 packages per hour, but I got him up to 1,200. And I would go in and he'd be singing to himself, and he sounded terrible, but he was so happy, he was so joyous every single time. And he worked a hard job during the daytime. He would leave immediately from his day job and come to the night job and work. I don't know when he slept, because I know he had to be in work pretty early. He had on his uniform, he had on work pants, he had on construction boots, and he had on an orange shirt. This is before they had the glowing shirts, before they had the reflective color shirts. And if I talked to Mr. Brown before the shift started or after the shift started, he would only talk about one thing. He would only talk about one thing. His son. His son was the first person in his family to go to college. And that's all he would talk about. And do you know why he was unloading those trucks in those conditions? Because of his son, so that he could pay his son's tuition. So why do I bring that up? I say that because I believe Mr. Brown is a perfect example to us. Mr. Brown was able to rejoice always, regardless of the situation or circumstances, because he had something bigger that he was focused on. He had something much larger than those trucks. He had something much larger. We, as Christians, we should have something bigger that we're focused on, something that far outweighs any situation or circumstance that we're going in. And that something is Jesus Christ. Not just hoping for heaven, but we have rewards now. We can have a relationship with him. So we should be like Mr. Brown. We should rejoice always. Joy should be a part of our personality. That should be one of our character traits. Yeah, you're going to have bad times, but through it all, our overall disposition should be joy. It should be that of rejoicing. And I said, it would be a bad idea for us to look at this and only look at it personally. So this was written to a church. This is written to a group of people, an assembly of believers, which we are. So if I were to examine that same example all over again with Mr. Brown. Now, I just spoke very highly of Mr. Brown. And everyone in that building spoke very highly of Mr. Brown. Mr. Brown received a lot of praise, a lot of recognition. But do you know what? I had 11, 12 other people that were that worked under me. Now, let me ask you a question. So if everyone in my work area was working as hard as they possibly could, not only working as hard as they possibly could, but was doing it joyously, what do you think would happen? Who would receive the praise? Who would receive the recognition? The one in charge, right? So us, as a church, as an assembly of believers, if all of us, regardless of situation or circumstance, if all of us are joyous, if all of us are living our lives in a way in which God approves, who would receive the praise? The one in charge, right? Not Pastor Brian, God. God would receive it. How much easier would it be for us to share the gospel if everyone was living their lives in such a way in which, regardless of situation or circumstance, we were considered joyous? We were rejoicing. How much easier would it be if every single person, that if every single Christian that people ran into were living their lives in a way in which pleases and honors God? How much easier would it be to share the gospel? How much more receptive would people be? Think about it. It goes beyond our church as well. As Christians, do you know what we are as Christians? We are representatives of heaven here on earth. We are representatives of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why they call us Christians. The word Christian originally meant little Christ. That's what we're supposed to be. We're to be followers of Jesus Christ. We're to be disciples of Jesus Christ. A disciple is a follower. We're to be little Christ. So this command not only goes to us as individuals, it goes to us as an assembly of believers and followers in Jesus Christ, but it also goes to all believers and followers of Jesus Christ. The next command is to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. So what does that mean? Are we supposed to stay up all day, every day praying? Some churches have a room, where there's someone in that room all day, every day. There is someone from that church in that room praying every single day of the week. But what if the church has 12 members? It's not going to work, is it? So what does it mean to pray without ceasing? Pray without ceasing means to be in constant communication with God. Be in constant communication with God. How can we have a relationship with someone who we don't communicate with? Is that possible? How can we have a relationship with someone that we don't communicate with? That doesn't happen. That's not called a relationship. That's what it means to pray without ceasing. It means to be in constant communication with God. How good is the communication if it's one-sided? Not very good, right? Not very good at all. I know, personally speaking, in the rare moments that my wife and I have a disagreement, the thing that eats me up the most, the thing that really gets under my skin, the thing that really makes me pull my hair out, is the silent treatment. I can't stand it. I cannot stand the silent treatment. Whatever's wrong, I just want to fix it. There is no relationship without communication. And it's a poor relationship if all the communication is one-sided. Third command. Giving thanks in all circumstances. giving thanks in all circumstances. Now, this is a hard one. But if we look at it a little bit closer, I think we'll see that it's not as hard as it seems. Giving thanks in all circumstances. The key word there is in. I'll read it again. Giving thanks in all circumstances, not giving thanks for all circumstances. That would be foolish. That would be foolish. Your dog just got ran over by a truck. You're not going to give thanks in that circumstance. Not going to give thanks for it. Because of the joy that is in your heart because of Jesus Christ, while you're in that circumstance, you'll be able to give thanks for other things that has happened. But you're not going to give thanks for that circumstance. So, giving thanks, we can give thanks in prayer. We can give thanks in general. I'll start with in prayer. Giving thanks in prayer. Our prayer life is a reflection of our attitude. I would say that for a lot of us, most of the time, in most circumstances, our prayer life is a reflection of our attitude. But I would also say that for most of us, in most circumstances, that our attitude is a reflection of our prayer life as well. There was a person that I was a part of a ministry team with, and quite frankly, I was scared to be her friend. Because she was so gloomy. All of her prayer requests were for someone that had just gone through some sort of catastrophe, for someone who was in the hospital. I mean, it was dark. It was depressing. And there was no counterbalance. There was no praises being given. There was no thankfulness for anything. And I started thinking to myself, how many people do you know? Not only how many people do you know, but it's just a matter of time before I'm on that list. No, when we pray to the Lord, yes, we are to bring our prayers and petitions. When people are sick, we are to pray that they need to be healed. When situations are happening that are bad around us, we are to pray for them, yes. But we are also to give thanksgiving. We're also to praise God. The difference between thanksgiving and praising God, or I guess I should say, the difference between a more doxological prayer is that we thank God for who He is instead of what He's done for us. When was the last time that we did that? It's not natural. It's really not natural. When was the last time that we thanked God for who He is instead of thanking Him for what He's done for us? It's good to thank God for what He's done for us. Don't get me wrong. It is perfectly good. But we also need to thank God for who He is. Let me explain. Imagine an all-powerful God who isn't good. That's a bad situation, right? If God were all-powerful and not good, that would not be good. So we should thank God for who He is. We should thank God that He is good. Imagine an all-powerful God who is not just, who's not fair, who doesn't deal with people equitably. Imagine an all-powerful God who is not just. Here's the kicker. Imagine, if you will, a just God who is not loving. What if He gave us exactly what we deserve? With God, we understand that God is perfectly just, but we also know that God is perfectly loving. Do you know what would happen if God was perfectly just but not loving? What does Romans 6:23 say? The wages of sin is what? Death. We'll bring it together. What does John 3:16 say? For God so what? Loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So if God were perfectly just, but were not perfectly loving, he can finish the story. We'd be doomed to eternal damnation, eternal separation from God. Yes, God is just, but at the same time being just, which I'm sure we can't understand, he's also perfectly loving. So he gave his son to die in our place because he loved us that much. We sinned against him. We broke the relationship. Jesus paid for it. And all we have to do is believe that he died on the cross for our sins and we'll be saved. I don't want to diminish the importance of thanking God for what he has done. We have blessings. We have regular blessings every single day. I think a lot of people laugh because they think I'm insincere or they think that, I don't know. But I thank God every single day for healthy children because I pray for a lot of people who don't have healthy children. That is not something that you want to look past. That is a blessing. I thank God that I have a roof over my head. When we go to help out the homeless, when we do safe nights, a lot of people have just, I don't know, like a lot of people are working, but they're homeless. They just don't make enough money to afford a home. Or something has happened that they weren't able to recover from. Homeless people are not everyone is homeless because they're quote unquote too lazy to work. That is false. That is not true. A lot of homeless people are working full-time jobs and they are trying their best. There are college students that live in their cars. I thank God that I have a home to live in. That's something that's very easy to look past. We need to thank God for answers to prayer. For answers to prayer. How in the world is it possible that when we go to our small groups, the list of prayer requests is 3 pages long and the list of praises isn't even a list? It might be one bullet. Because when he does answer our prayers, we don't remember. We need to thank him for answers to prayer. Common grace. I apologize in advance. That is a theological term. But it's a simple term. Common grace. That means, like, it's raining outside right now. That's common grace. Everyone is privileged to the rain. So the plants are growing and we have food. All right, everyone, believers and unbelievers. We thank him for common grace. Do we thank him for salvation? Do we thank him for sanctification, our ongoing growth in the Lord as we become more and more and more like him? Providence. God didn't just make the world and take a nap waiting for Jesus' second coming. He is actively involved in the things that go on. He answers our prayers. That's his providence. Being thankful in general. Just plain being grateful. Just plain being grateful. Something as simple as saying thank you. He said, we look at these individually. These are great things. If we looked at them collectively, we look at them as an entire assembly of believers, how awesome would it be that when you go to Safeway and you buy your groceries, that teller says, I recognize that logo on your T-shirt. All of the people who go to that church are extremely grateful and thankful. How easy would it be to share the gospel with that person? Or I guess the ease would be the same. how much more receptive would they be to the gospel? But who cares about the logo on our shirt? It's the one that the logo represents. Not Potomac Heights Baptist Church, but Jesus Christ. I've said it once already, and I'll say it again. As Christians, we are heaven's representatives on earth. We are God's representatives. Do you know what? Paul loves us so much, he tells us why. He tells us why we should do these things. Some of them are apparent. We've already spoken about some of the reasons why. It says, the answer to the why is, this is the will of God. That's the answer to the why. It's because it's God's will. That may not make a lot of sense. Let me try it this way. In high school, one of my best friends, he was probably the toughest guy in the school, honestly. In 10th grade, he set the weightlifting record. Short guy, he was only 5'7", but at 5'7", he was able to bench press 345 pounds. I said, and I don't call him a tough guy because he was a bully. He wasn't a bully. He was a real genuine kid. But if trouble came his way, he wouldn't run from it, and he would put an end to it quickly. One day, after school, I went over his house. And, you know, during the winter time, it gets dark really early. So I'm like, look, you can do that homework later. We need to go outside and play football before it gets dark. Says, no, I need to do my homework. I said, you can do the homework later. The sun is going down now. So I need to do my homework. This guy and this homework. So later on, we're both on a track team together. And everyone's goofing off, and he's doing his homework. We're in study hall. They make you take study hall before practice actually starts to help you keep your grades up. And I'm like, Look, you can do that homework later. It's not difficult. You can do it later. We should be cutting up. Everyone else is having fun. I need to do my homework now. So another situation happened. And I'm like, look, why do you always insist on doing your homework immediately after school is over, at the first opportunity? He says, because my father said so. That's what that means. This is the will of God. That means because my father said so, because my heavenly father said so. That's why. Another reason why. Because we love him. That's our heavenly father. If it's his will for us to do something, we should do it because we love him. That's our heavenly father. Example. Pastor Brian is slow, very slow, reluctant, I should say, very reluctant to baptize small children. Why, you might ask? Because if you have a young child and mom and dad are Christians and this is a good thing, they're going to want to be baptized. They're going to be a believer in Jesus Christ because mom and dad are believers in Jesus Christ. And I want to make mom and dad happy because what? I love mom and dad. That's the way children are wired. That's just the way they're wired. So we should want to do his will because we love him. We also love our brothers and sisters in Christ. This is good for them as well. This is good for non-believers. You know what else? Paul didn't only give us three commandments. He told us why we need to keep those three commandments or commands. But he also told us how. Because everything that I'm talking about, it seems very difficult to do, right? I mean, it sounds good on Sunday morning. But in day-to-day life, I know what everyone's thinking. Sounds good, but that's not what? Practical. So he tells us how to do it. Says, rejoice always. pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God. And here's the how. In Christ Jesus. That's the how. Yeah, it is impossible. But all things are possible through whom? Christ Jesus, who gives me strength. Paul said that, by the way, when Paul said that in Philippians, if you read a little bit before, he said all things are possible with Christ Jesus who gives me strength. He's talking about how he can live in any situation and circumstance, with little, with much, with food, without food, because all things are possible through Christ Jesus who gives me strength. So the how is in Christ, not on our own strength, but through the power that's given to us. When we became Christians, we became new creatures. We are not the same. We are transformed, and we are continuing to be transformed, being made more like Christ. With that came the power to do everything that the Lord wants us to do. We are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in us. Remember, who did we say Paul was writing this to? New believers who are experiencing what? Persecution. And his advice to new believers who were not even advice, I apologize, not advice, his command to new believers who were experiencing severe persecution were to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So those are his, that's his advice. But we can only do it through the power and strength of Jesus Christ. In closing, as Christians, we are commanded to be joyful people in constant communication with God, thankful in all circumstances. I'll repeat that. As Christians, we are commanded to be joyful people in constant communication with God and thankful in all circumstances. And I'm going to leave everyone here with three questions. If we obey these commands, how would it affect me individually? How would it affect my brothers and sisters in Christ? How would it affect the rest of the world if we did something as simple as obeying these three commands? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you are just. We thank you that you are loving. Father God, please continue to work on us, Lord. Please continue to be patient with us as we become more like your Son. Father, please help us to be the people that you want us to be, as you've illustrated through Paul in this letter to the Thessalonian church. Not just the letter to the Thessalonian church, but the letter to all Christians, all those who call themselves Christians, who call themselves followers of Jesus Christ, all those who believe. Father, please give us the power to keep these commands and the rest of the commands that are in your holy word. Father, we thank you and we praise you, not just for what you've done for us, but for who you are. It's in your Son's most precious name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for taking time to listen to this sermon audio from Potomac Heights Baptist Church. Please feel free to make copies of this audio to give to others. But please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without express written permission.